Okay, so there's this thing that I've wanted to tell you about, and I guess like I want to do it on the pod because I think it's like a weird thing that other people might enjoy, but I want to preface this.
I love it
this.
When we have things that we're like, I want to tell you about this, but I have to be recorded while I tell you just for posterity.
Absolutely.
I
just want more people to know that this can happen, and I know that sounds weird, but like, so this is kind of like true crime adjacent.
This makes me think of like, just so you know, if you're someone who could become pregnant, you could become pregnant. You're
and
like,
everybody
I just need
should
people to
that.
Know this is real. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Everyone should remember that. Listen, if you could become pregnant, you could
you
become
could
pregnant.
You could become pregnant.
Okay. That's our new tagline for the show. Go on.
Okay, so this was a CNN like push notification that I woke up to maybe like a week ago.
You need
something.
To turn those off. And listen, any of you have news resource push notifications, I just really recommend you disable that for your own well-being. That's my advice. Go on.
Yeah, it's not great, but I feel like they've been like pushing more absurd stories lately. I don't know if it's like to mix it up, but there was one
to recruit you, to radicalize you to the liberal left.
Yeah, it's the liberal left media trying to suck me in specifically. Okay, so the push notification line was something like mystery solved on feet washing up on Washington shores. And so I was like, cool.
I would definitely click that.
I for sure have to read it.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, I'm very interested in this intel.
So I guess for a few years, and it's been like over a week since I read this article, and so I'm not going to remember all the details or people's names, so I'm just giving you the gist of it. This is not the meat of the episode. This is me telling you something.
Yeah, this actually has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, guys. You know how we do the show, unless you're new here, in which case, welcome. Okay.
So they said that for years, periodically, in this area of like Washington or Portland, somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, sneakers have been washing up onto the shores of the beaches. But when people retrieve the sneaker, they find that there is a human foot inside. And so,
okay, I'm stressed by that. I'm
so
super stressed by that.
And so
I imagine myself finding shoes and then there being a foot and then how my life would never be the same.
Absolutely. So I can't remember like how they like put this together, but they put together a team of scientists to investigate it. And
I love a team. I love a team.
And the team thought that like the feet probably belonged to like not murder victims, but there was like some like oil rig or like some ship that like was known to have sunk. And so there were like X amount of bodies like that they knew about like in a vicinity where like parts could potentially wash ashore. And so they were like, okay, probably not murder victims. It's probably from this wreck, but like, why are the feet coming over here? And so,
I mean, okay, like this makes sense that they're like, we do know about like a source of some bodies.
So they took a pig carcass because pig's tissue is like very similar to humans.
Right. They use pigs a lot as reference points for us. So
they do
God
indeed.
Bless.
And they dropped the pig like X amount of depth into the ocean where like the shipwreck would have been. And
to see if it would float.
To see what would happen with like the bottom feeders, like the creatures.
Did they put shoes on the pig? That's my next question.
They did not. But
damn.
What they did observe was like all the little like crabs and shrimps and like things that like basically clean up things on the ocean floor. They're able to skeletonize a body in like just a couple of days, like eat everything off of it.
Whoa.
Right. But what they
found. But they're not eating through the shoes.
But they found that first they go for the soft areas like the eyes, the anus, and
the anus. Okay.
All yeah, right. Like the softer, easy ways to get in. And apparently around our wrists and ankles, and also pigs' wrists and ankles, where there's like a lot of ligaments and stuff, it's easier to eat through that tissue. And so like that tissue goes first, and then like the shoe with the foot with the sneaker on it like floats up and away because like the little water insects have like eaten through the ankle first because it's softer than the shoe or the leg. And so like everyone's like getting their ankles eaten through and then the feet float up. And that's apparently how that happens. And I just felt like I had to tell you about it.
Yeah, this is not at all where I thought you were going with this, but like I'm certainly intrigued.
Me too. And I felt stressed about like the skeletonizing of things. But then I was like, what if those creatures didn't exist? Then we'd just have like the bodies of everything everywhere. So.
Right. Well.
But to find a foot like on your morning stroll, you're living in Portland. You're just like, I'm going to hit the beach, get in the water. There's
check
a
out
shoe.
These cool Nikes.
Look, I scored a Nike today. Absolutely not.
I think the lesson here is don't be trying to score shoes.
From the ocean?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
That feels like the takeaway. Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome. Soul searching to find their true self.
I mean, that is this podcast. So.
It's basically an SVU episode with help from talking rats.
This month in December, please stop douching your genitals.
Who's participating in this study that's like, here, for like the $30, I like came in this cup so 30 different women could taste it. I'm like, who's that guy?
So it fit like a tiny belly shirt with like cap sleeves. And when the ambulance came, like that's what he was wearing.
You're saying all sorts of crazy shit now.
I'm gonna peak in high school and then die.
I do believe in fairies. I do. It's franchising our platform. We're franchising it, okay? Welcome. Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our culture, human behavior, ankles. Pseudoscience, real science, feet, kinks related to feet. We have talked about that on here. Go into the archives.
Not enough, though, I feel. That's for later.
No, I would speak more on feet exclusively. File that away, actually. Yeah, that's a whole nother episode. But yeah, that is Jamie Ryan bringing us to the wonderful world of feet in Los Angeles.
And that is Austin Williams appreciating my loose science in Chicago.
Always here for the loose science. You know, I hear this show that we do isn't super scientific. And I just, again, want to clear up any confusion that our platform was we are scientists. Because I don't know how people got that impression, but...
Explorers.
Okay. Yeah, we're explorers of the mind. Miss Frizzle, get at me. Okay.
Oh my God, yes.
Hi.
But yeah, and I also want to, on this episode in particular, want to mention that like I am not an accountant nor a financial advisor, and you should absolutely remember that.
Okay, these are some roles you don't have. Why is it important we know you don't have those roles tonight? What are we talking about?
So you probably know from the episode description, but today is going to be about cryptocurrency. I feel like finally.
Hyped.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very, very excited about this. I was like very intrigued by, but I think afraid of cryptocurrency for a long time.
Sure.
And I guess like before we get into it all at all, I'm curious about like your level of like knowledge, understanding, like your opinion of it. Like what are your cryptocurrency vibes?
No, I'm so happy to kind of like stand in here, I think, for the novice listener, because obviously coming to the table today, I knew we were doing cryptocurrency. Well, not obviously. Sometimes we spring topics on the other person. They don't know. And you hear that happen. But I knew we were doing this, and I feel like really my extent of crypto stuff is like, yeah, I've heard of Bitcoin, you know, cool, yeah. And I understand that it exists and that some people are out there mining it. And I have like maybe heard that described on a podcast or something. But I would say generally, I really know jack shit about cryptocurrency, and I tried to preserve my ignorance.
That's good.
It's one of the times, God bless this show, for being an excuse for me to preserve ignorance. I'm like, no, I need to be able to stand in for the other people. I need to ask the questions that they would ask. So, dear listeners, thank you for allowing me to remain a little stupid for just a touch longer. I appreciate you. I'm excited to try and figure this out because, I mean, I really feel like I know nothing.
Amazing. That's perfect. Okay. Then like, please ask so many questions and like,
I know more than your grandparent because I've like heard of it, you know, but like, for otherwise,
sure. Well, you don't know what my grandma's doing online.
Okay, well, I hate to assume. Shout out to your grandma on the dark web. Okay.
I don't know. Sometimes she's got to get a hold of medicines. You don't know. Anyway, that's a like topic that for her. Another time. I love that about
Eastern
her, too.
Medicines.
Exactly. Yes. Natural medicines.
Things that have no clinical proving. Okay, again, we're not scientists, and we're about that life,
she
guys.
She is deep
okay.
in those anecdotal Reddits. Mm.
I'm so ready. Listen. Also, just like if anybody's like grandma or older parent is like aggressively using Reddit, that's one of my favorite things. And I'd like you to write in and tell us about it.
Yeah,
that's all.
And my grandma might want a friend. So maybe we could make a match. Aww. The older set online. Anyway, okay. So today, my goal in this episode is to
goals.
Hopefully, because I want you to ask questions to help me appropriately explain this, and maybe it actually won't be that hard. But hopefully, I want to break down what cryptocurrency is and how to use it in a non-confusing way. And we can talk about this later. But I feel like there's a lot of gatekeeping stuff with cryptocurrency, and just the lack of information, keeps it really powerful, and we can dive into that more later, but we will touch on and perhaps
the air of mystery lending itself to the worth of this, perhaps, is what we're saying a little bit.
The worth, but also the feeling of I think a lot of people are afraid to invest in Bitcoin because you don't understand it, and you really shouldn't put your money in something that you know nothing about how it works.
I mean, I was going to say that's advice we can all enjoy is not investing in things you fully don't understand. That seems
prudent.
We're
on that
later. Seems like a thing you should always be doing is not being let me throw money at something I don't have any comprehension
of. Don't know how it works. Yeah.
Right.
But I think that it hasn't been. There's not a lot of accessible info on how to use it easily. And there's a lot of ways to accidentally get scammed. And so it's a little bit of a minefield to get into. But I think soon there's more resources coming forward. But we will perhaps hopefully answer questions such as what the hell is blockchain? Ooh. How do we even get Bitcoins? Will I be scammed?
Yep.
What is mining? Do we even need banks, or are they a racket? And so much more.
Wow. Okay. That's a hot take.
It is. My opinion is out on that, but I'm definitely a little more swayed and anti-bank after studying for this.
Wow. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah. So crypto, as I mentioned, has always been super alluring to me because it feels secret, potentially nefarious. And
yeah.
I've had a lot of FOMO about not.
Lemony Snicket, Count Olaf. Mm-hmm. It feels the secret society I want to be a part of. It's Hogwarts.
People are also getting wildly wealthy off of it. It does feel like magic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think anytime there's something like this that is that it is kind of that mindset of, when people are if it seems too good to be true,
exactly.
It probably is. And I feel like some of my skepticism probably about crypto being a thing I would ever dabble in is I'm well, this just seems something that's too good to be true. But to your point, it's something I fully have no comprehension of.
Mm-hmm. But I also thought in that vein that it would probably be a bubble. It's something that maybe is doing really well right now because people don't trust the regular stock market. And so they're investing in something else. And that's making cryptos stronger. But I don't know that it's as simple as that. I think that crypto, it's really just a whole different system than how we bank right now. And it works really differently. I also want to say that I've had a lot of FOMO about not getting in at the right time.
Having FOMO about what was Reddit trying to say? Why do I even forget this cultural moment already? Speaking of
the
Reddit
GameStop
and crypto.
Stuff?
Yeah,
Robin
the
Hood.
GameStop stuff. Did you have FOMO about GameStop, Juju? I feel like a lot of people had FOMO about it.
I did because I am Robinhood, occasional day trader. You have to do some fancy footwork on the app to make that happen, but you can do it. And yes, I felt I really missed the boat, and I was God damn it. I've been so up in learning about stocks recently, and now this is happening without me, and the buy-in is so high now. Anyway.
Yeah.
Enough about my lamenting of that. But then I have to say this, it would have ruined my week or my month or whatever, the way that they shut down the app and didn't let people trade. I'm so happy now that I wasn't involved because oh my God, that would have just, I would have gone on a tear about that. Anyway.
Okay, all right. Sure.
Okay, so like, let's grab an Urban Dictionary definition, I think, because that feels right.
Oh, wow, we have an Urban Dictionary. This and anything in a minute. I'm open to it.
They tell us that cryptocurrency is a digital medium of exchange. It uses cryptography, asterisk by that
made
for later, for security, making it difficult to counterfeit. The idea of cryptocurrency comes from popular online games wherein you trade something for something, and emerges into a new unit of cyber currencies between public miners, the people who are gaining the bitcoins, and we'll talk about miners later and how you do that.
Good, because I do want to hear about it.
And the idea is that it mimics precious metals. The first...
Right, mining for it, you got to dig, it's hidden. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And Bitcoin is the first of its kind, apparently. And
oh, I didn't know that. So Bitcoin is like the OG crypto.
According to Urban Dictionary, yes.
Okay, and well, according to them.
It's also important to note that with cryptocurrency, peer-to-peer transactions can be done. And what that means is that it...
Like you and I could pay each other like we would on Venmo?
But without Venmo. So like...
Right.
It's like, I guess Venmo is the closest thing to cryptocurrency, but Venmo still has like accountants and
yeah, you still have like your bank account.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we each have a bank account linked to it. But it's closer to cash in that, like, if I wanted to buy something from you online with cryptocurrency, like we would not go through a bank. We would not go through a credit card. We would not go through any kind of third party vendor or like handshake program. Like, I would exclusively like wire from my account to yours, like X amount of bitcoins. And that
now,
would be.
I don't want to skip ahead here. And so tell me if I'm getting ahead of myself. But the first kind of question in this peer-to-peer transactional thing is like, yeah, you're like, I'm going to send you the Bitcoin. We're operating outside of banks and stuff. I understand that. So where are we sending this coin to each other? Like my neck of the woods online? Like, I don't understand it.
You would have a number that is your online identity that allows you
kind of like an IP address?
Yes. It allows you to remain anonymous unless you give that number to people along with your identity. So like...
Got it.
All of the Bitcoin transactions, unless you choose for it not to be, are anonymous and say that like, and the number is much longer than this, but say that like my ID is like 075 and yours is... Mm-hmm. 368. It would be like 075 gives 5 Bitcoin to 368. And like that would be the
transaction. And we wouldn't have to be, you know, at no point did I have to tell you my name. At no point does that have to be linked to it, which is how some like gnarly shit I'm sure can be happening on here. It's, you know, that could not be great.
And this is why I think like it emerged, I believe, like as a dark web currency.
Right. Anonymity.
Yes, because there's anonymity. You can, if you keep your account number secret, like nobody ever knows. And that's like not recorded somewhere with your information. But that also means that if you lose your account number, like you've lost all your money, you can never get it.
I have heard about that being a thing where people who are in crypto, like somehow like lose the intel they need to get in, and there's no way to like retrieve it. There's no one you can call and be like, help me.
There's
I'm
no
poor.
Password reset. There is it's a key and you cannot open the vault anymore.
Wow. Yeah. That I mean, that alone does provide like some fear. I don't know, just about like security. And I'd also like my initial thoughts about me getting into something like this would be like, well, I know there are hackers who are good at stuff and are way better than me. And I'm like, do I even have like the skill set to be in some of this if somebody could like,
that's what I'm afraid of,
be
too.
Good enough to get into my shit, because I'm certainly not good enough to prevent that.
Yes.
And no one can help me. There's no team of, you know, little bank minions on the phone.
And it can be a lot of money on the line. And so let's,
right.
This is a good transition point, I think. Let's talk about Bitcoin specifically. Because it's kind of like the model for all of the other cryptos. And like, let's be honest, it's the one that we're probably all the most interested in.
Sure.
So Bitcoin launched in 2009, and one of my favorite things about it is that the creator is anonymous. The name is that they go by is a pseudonym. So Satoshi Nakamoto is the creator of Bitcoin, but has a fully unknown identity. And
right. I think I did know this. And like you saying the name, I feel like I have heard this before, that like the creator, it's like, who knows?
Yes. And I love that. And some like theories are that it could be Elon Musk, Nick Szabo, Craig Wright.
I've heard Nick Szabo. I don't believe it's Elon Musk. Like, don't you think Elon would have claimed it by now? You know?
I don't know. Unless he knows that like something bad's going to happen with it later. I don't know. Mm. There could always be more plotting that I'm unaware of.
Sure.
My personal favorite theory is that it was created by an AI.
Oh, you love AI shit, but I have never heard this. So, wow.
Yeah, that's a deep cut one, though. And speaking of Satoshi, I think that this is cute. But so, like, one Bitcoin is, like, one increment of payment, obviously. But sure. Because Bitcoin is valued so highly, like you have to be able to break it down, like how we have pennies, not just dollars. So,
right,
a Satoshi is 1/1,000,000th of a Bitcoin. So it's like,
oh, wow,
so divisible. But I love that it's called a Satoshi. I think that's cute. Oh, okay. So this is like part of why I have FOMO. But at this time last year, the value of one Bitcoin was about $5,000 for one Bitcoin. Wow. Now, wow. Today, I checked.
Oh, God.
It's almost $60,000 for one Bitcoin.
In a year?
In 1 year. It was launched in 2009. And it's projected by 2040 to be at $500,000, which would be 100 times what it's at right now.
But that to me, like, talk about a risk that's scary. Let's say you had, like, what is it, the 60K laying around? Let's just say, and you're going to buy a full one, because obviously it sounds like you can buy fractions of them. But, like, I would be, like, that payoff sounds like, you know, the best in terms of, like, you think, like, stocks and you think, like, you know, whatever interest rate you could be getting at some financial institution or, like, CDs or whatever the fuck.
It's, like, better than, like, anything.
This is incredible, but it's a risk. There's no guarantees that that's going to happen.
Unless you only put in like $50. Like, what if I just am like, I'll take like 10 Satoshis and just let it sit there for 10 years. And then that $50 is, what, $5,000 or something? I'm not a big time math lady.
I mean, in how many years would it take us to get there?
20 years, I believe.
That doesn't feel as good of a payoff.
Well, of course not. But initially it's $50. And so that feels like almost like not a big deal at all. And then like later you suddenly have money that means something. Anyway, so that's part of why I've been having a lot of FOMO about it. Because I'm like, I got to like get on the
You're
train.
Like, why didn't I put in 5K a few years ago?
A while ago. But then I'm like, I would lose my key. Anyway, so.
Sure.
Let's talk about blockchain. Do you have any familiarity at all with blockchain?
Actually, when you named this term, I had no idea what it was.
Perfect. Amazing. So blockchain is what makes cryptocurrencies work. And the easiest way to understand it is to just break down the word. So like many transactions of Bitcoin are recorded in rows until a maximum amount of data on like a page is reached. And then that information, which is just a record of the Bitcoin transactions that have happened, becomes a block. So like when it maxes out, it's full, it becomes a block of data. The blocks of data are then linked together in a chain to make just like a long receipt of all of the Bitcoin transactions ever. So it would be like me sending you X amount of money, Austin purchasing Jordans, Austin purchasing oysters, Austin purchasing vaginal wash.
I love that you immediately are like, I have spoken at length about vaginal washes on this podcast, but I'm just proud that I was called out for like my luxury goods, which is me buying like pairs of Jordans. And it's funny right now because to paint this picture, you don't know this because we're on the phone, but I'm wearing a sweatshirt that's like a blue pullover that just says one word on the front of it. What word do you think that is?
Jordan?
It says oysters.
Oh, that was going to be I was going to say that. And then I was like, surely it's not oysters.
Oh, yeah. It's from the purveyor that I like to get oysters from. Yeah, I'm just wearing like an oysters branded shirt right now. It's fine.
Exactly right for you. We got to get you my grandma's glasses and it's complete.
Oh my God, my luxury lifestyle. I just want those spectacles. God. Okay, anyway, we can't digress on how I like to spend my money, but I appreciate how seen I just was.
Amazing. So that would be like your contributions to like a block of data. And so
okay, it's just my transaction history. It's like looking at your bank transaction,
but
you know,
it's
statement.
Everyone's. It's universal. And so like
it's like looking at the feed on Venmo.
Yes, it's very much like looking at the feed on Venmo. And so you can actually go back then and reference any transaction. And so like things are completely indisputable, which is part of its power.
This is making me think about Venmo being like something that was really designed to make sense to the mass market, but also maybe appeal to cryptos.
Yeah, I was having some Venmo feelings reading all of this also, because it is... It feels like a baby step toward crypto, but we're like still connecting our bank accounts and stuff.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. Anyway. So does that make sense? Like that sounds like so simple to say, but like it really is just, it's just a receipt that no one can change. Like banks can change their records all the time. They can like reverse payments. Like that cannot happen on here. Like if there's a reverse payment, it's written as a separate line. Like the transaction is not erased.
I see that. It makes sense to me. And this is just, I don't, and maybe this is a question we don't have like the clear answer for, but I'm just trying to think. I don't know. I believe hackers are capable of so much shit. And so somehow this is like just fully uncorruptible. Like it just like, it's like a log of history that you can, nobody can mess with. Like that feels bold.
That does feel bold to me. And I would be curious to know more about that. We'll talk about like the mining in a couple minutes, and maybe we can revisit this question. But I also was feeling like I would feel vulnerable to hackers in this, because I don't know enough about programming to know like the security of blockchain. But people who are very smart at computers trust a lot of their money to the idea of blockchain, which is some form of vetting, but isn't like, that's not a full understanding on my end.
Okay, that's fair. I'm here for it.
Yeah, so there's definitely still some mystery. But I would like to talk about the three pillars of Bitcoin.
Okay.
The first is decentralization. And what that means is, oh, and this partially I think answers the question, but data is stored all over. Like it's not just one person or business or entity controlling the data. So there's multiple copies of all of these transactions stored on many, 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 many computers all over the world. And so there's kind of like a checks and balances where like you can't change something that someone else is also working on anonymously, because like they would see that change.
Okay.
And so it makes it like more difficult to like edit anything, because like other people would notice. And also like apparently you can't change it. Your question has thrown me. I really don't know how that's so locked in. But it
apparently
is.
Mean, it's truly, and it can be something we don't understand, right? You know, I guess that's just where my mind goes, that I am skeptical. I think, like, as somebody who doesn't understand Bitcoin, I feel thrown by like how some people really trust it, because to me it seems super risky, and the belief that like some part of it is like unfuckwithable, I'm like, well, but again, it's stemming from like I don't understand how this works.
Yes, and again, I think I don't know enough about programming to know if that's right.
Yeah, again, we are not accountants or computer hackers that we know of. Okay,
we are not. But the second pillar is transparency. And so these ledgers of all of the transactions are public. And so you could go through and look at any of them.
Okay.
And like I've listened to an episode of Reply All about Bitcoin. If anybody wants to listen to that, it was a great episode. It was about...
Yeah, they did a good coverage on Bitcoin. I think I listened to these too.
Yeah, this woman was trying to retrieve money that she had put into Bitcoin a long time ago to buy weed. And she was like, oh my God, I think now like my change
it might be worth something.
Is worth like a lot. And she couldn't remember like her number or something. And so they went back through this ledger of like all the transactions, and they narrowed down like a window of time when she thought she bought
it.
And they found like the vendor number of like the person that she bought it from. And like in this long ledger, were able to find her number and then eventually like retrieve her password from somewhere else. But it ended up that she only had like $50 worth of Bitcoin or something. It was very insignificant at the end, but it was an interesting journey of like someone going back through all of the Bitcoin ledgers.
I remember that episode, and it has the same energy as Antique Roadshow.
It does.
Where like you're like, could this be a lot? And it's like, let's uncover the mystery. And then you get there, and then it's like, yeah, it's so gratifying to know the truth, but also it's not worth as much as you thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Antique Roadshow. That's just a brief aside.
I do too.
Great show. Great programming.
And it was like a precursor to Storage Wars and all that shit. Like, I think that PBS primed everyone for the later Discovery shows.
PBS has really been a trailblazer in television programming. I mean, we talked about 1800 House on here.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, you know, really what they did for the reality TV market you know, God bless you, PBS.
I love those shows.
I love PBS so much. Shout out.
Oh, wow. Okay, anyway, the third pillar is immutability. And this is kind of what we're hemming and hawing about, but apparently no one can change it. And a live running ledger of all the transactions is like live and uploaded online constantly, like a live feed.
I mean, we've seen it from this episode you're referencing, at least play out to be able to, you know, really rely on a ledger for historical info. So
yeah, and so like if that is true, like if we assume the market is rational, then you know, then I maybe do trust Bitcoin a little bit.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so there are something called nodes, N-O-D-E-S, and those guys are just the computers that maintain the blockchain network. So like there aren't accountants with crypto, but there are miners. So like these people are called miners, and they are the ones that are recording transactions to their copy of the ledger and then broadcasting their changes to all the other computers on the network in the form of a block. And the blocks get full about every 10 minutes. And so yeah, I know. It's well, there's like so many transactions happening. And so you have multiple like identical copies with many people working on them being constantly uploaded and checked against each other.
Right.
And so that does create quite a bit of accountability.
Sure.
Yeah. And miners are rewarded with Bitcoin. And so when you hear people
this is the part I really want to understand. Like, I'm very intrigued by it. I'm like, how do you just find it?
Right. And so they're not really finding it. They are working to maintain the Bitcoin ledger is like what mining is.
Okay.
And so they are awarded X amount of Bitcoin that's seen as like you know what I mean?
Compensation.
For the amount of mining or like recording that they did on their node or their network computer.
So if anything, I should really think about this as like a payment plan for some, you know.
It's absolutely a payment maintenance. Plan. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. This is how the system keeps itself going. However, then we get to the issue of like Bitcoin supply. And so like it's not like it's gold and we're actually mining it. So like what? Where's it coming from?
Yeah, I'm like, that makes it seem like it's absolutely not finite. And then you start to be like, well, what about inflation?
But it is. This is my favorite thing about Bitcoin. At the very beginning, Toshi Nakamoto decided that there would only be 21 million Bitcoins ever. It's the maximum that there could ever be. He wanted it to mimic a precious metal. And so there's only so much that can be mined. Yes. And it obviously helps manage inflation. And once the Bitcoin supply has reached 21 million circulating, like once it's all been mined and it's all out there, it is anticipated that there will be 0% inflation after that because we're not adding any more money to the market. It's finite.
So would that... would it keep growing? This is where I'm probably like really showing my like not a financial... you know,
I'm not either. We're over here with a machete just working it out.
Yeah, we're just going through the weeds. but so if okay, when there are like this 21 million or whatever Bitcoin that are all out there. And did you say million? That seems low.
It does. But yes, I did say that.
Okay, but people are working in fractions of it and it's divisible by whatever
it's
the fuck.
It's one millionth. Sense. Yeah, so it breaks down into a million pieces.
Okay, a million little pieces. Oprah. Ugh. So when it hits us 21, does that mean that like the value of Bitcoin is going to be flat, or it could still continue to be like worth more money?
No, it will rise more and more, because what would happen,
right, because
is,
that's like a precious metal, like gold, you know, can be worth more and more, and diamonds and whatever.
Like if the US Treasury continues printing money, that adds to inflation. But if Bitcoins are maxed out while the US Treasury is continuing to flood more cash into the market, that would make like the value of the dollar against Bitcoin like drop really hard, because like
this is very interesting.
Yes. And so in that way, like after the 21 million max out, it will skyrocket. Because
you think, and people are going to overvalue what it's worth because they have it. And
oh, for sure, there's going to be spikes and stuff. And there are definitely people that think it's bubbles. However, I do feel that like those are like bank people writing those articles. But, you know, that's for other people to decide.
Well, yeah. I mean, how do you apply the rules of banking to the rules of Bitcoin when the system is fundamentally different? If anything, because it's like a precious metal thing, like in terms of the finiteness of it, I actually would want to hear more of like an opinion on people who work with precious metals than people who work with like American dollars on their reg. You know what I mean? Like, if that's how it's designed, it seems like maybe that's who should be explaining it to me versus people who understand banking, because it's not banking.
It's really not. It truly is like a gold bartering system. Like someone basically created like imaginary gold and set a cap on how much there could be. And now people are trading with it, and it totally works. I don't know. I feel very excited.
I mean, the thing
it.
Will be, it's like going to be like, who's going to, and I'm sure you may get into this a little bit, but who's going to try and come up with the other cryptos that, you know, they're going to brand in the way that's going to be as appealing as Bitcoin? Because thinking about this, you even go like, who the fuck decided we care so much about gold? Like, it's a rock. I'm wearing, I like yellow gold. I'm wearing a fair amount of it. But like, I just think about that. It's like, who decided that this is worth something, you know?
Because it doesn't do anything
a choice.
For you. Yeah.
No, other than, you know, make my fingers look fly.
Yeah. No, that's true. But the minting happens, as I mentioned, when miners are rewarded with the new Bitcoins. And
right.
As of right now, the payment is about 6.25 Bitcoins per block, which feels like incredibly high if a new block is uploaded.
Yeah,
every 10
if there's
minutes.
Only a few million. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's also halving events, HALV, where.
Okay, where they like have it?
Where they cut in half like the amount of Bitcoins that you receive for mining a block of data. And around the halving events, Bitcoin value typically drops a lot. And then like steadily climbs back up. But you see that like when stocks are like halved, or I can't remember if that's what it's called in stocks, but.
Oh, there. Yeah. And I'm because you've said halved now.
It's all I can
think
about
now. The word.
Yeah.
But that does happen with stocks that they like split them or whatever.
Yes. And so like that obviously creates like a giant dip. But it's just they do that so that the trickle out of new Bitcoins is slower, and that they can be coming out for longer, so that like they're paying the miners like less and less for each block. Sucks for the miners, you know, as it's halving, but
sure it does.
I don't know. It's still like a really, really extremely high payment. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So as I mentioned, like the US Treasury has no fixed supply in the way that Bitcoin or like gold that exists does. And
sure.
I have some kind of vague memory from like high school econ about like the US Treasury having to be backed up by gold or something. But like, I don't feel like that's true. I don't know.
No, that was true at a point in time that like in the inception of like American money, it was like supported by precious metal. Like the paper money existed as like
like notes a stand-in. To, you know,
yeah, totally. But we've moved away from that.
Okay. Seems like.
And actually, there are people who have a lot of opinions about how we should be, like, the Treasury should be doing, not, you know, being back to, like, gold shit or whatever.
It would be more stable.
I feel like that's some Rand Paul shit, to be honest, though. Fucking Rand
And
Paul.
I don't know, like, anyway. I don't know enough about, like, economics or, like, the government to have, like, honestly any kind of real opinion on that, but I just think
yeah,
it's
interesting. Yeah, that's fucking real. Yeah, totally.
So any, like, questions on where we're at so far before I talk about how to obtain and use?
No, I'm excited to hear what the play-by-play is going to be about how we get our little, you know, typing pinkies allegedly on this stuff.
So
allegedly.
You can obviously, like, you can do some crypto trading through Robinhood. I've never attempted that.
Oh, interesting.
And so I don't know.
I've started to see things where, like, I think, like, at some point of sales that, like, there are certain retailers and stuff that are letting you pay with Bitcoin now.
I think my E-Trade account lets me trade Bitcoin too if I wanted.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Those moves legitimize things.
It really, really does. But but then we have, like, to remember things like the 2008 housing bubble, and that, like, we can be blind to things that are going to crash. So who knows? I am not a financial advisor. Anyway, so.
It sounds to me like the banks are just trying to get their little grubbly paws onto some of the Bitcoin.
I think so, too. Yeah. And I feel like it's a mad dash for the Bitcoin monies at this point. So
interesting.
You have to have a Bitcoin wallet. And I'm not sure how this would interact with Robinhood. So you're on your own about that.
Okay.
But you can have hot storage or cold storage. And what that means is hot storage is on a device connected to the internet. So, like, hot as in, like,
okay, it's live. It's live. On air. It's live. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And then cold storage is storage on a device that is not connected to the internet. And that's
like having it in your safe, your vault, your whatever. Yes. Nobody's trading.
Put
it
on a thumb drive or something. And that is the safest. However, you should never buy used Bitcoin wallets. So, like, you purchase Bitcoin wallets from vetted vendors and do your research on that, because this is a place where, like, a lot of people get scammed. You should never buy a used cold storage wallet because the previous owner...
Because people would be able to get into it.
Right. Could still...
It's like buying a house and not changing the locks.
It is. It is indeed like that. So only buy storage from lists of verified vendors to avoid getting hacked. And in the Reply All episode, they are talking about she has... I believe some hot storage, and
okay,
it makes it a little easier for them to get into it because she's, like, lost all of her papers and everything. And I guarantee she would have lost the wallet if that was a thing she could lose. But her account lived online.
She seems, you know, like somebody who lost some stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all right. And so there are what's called public keys and private keys that you use with your wallet to send and receive cash. And so,
okay,
you know how I said, like, there's, like, your number that's assigned to you? That's your public or private key. So, like,
right,
you would have a private,
it's your account number.
Yes. So you would have a private key to send money, and that is one of your account numbers. And then you have your public key, and that is to receive money, because other people have to know, like, where to send the money.
How they can give. Well, I like, though, that my giving money key is secret. Like, I like that. That seems good.
It's like having your Venmo in private. Just think about it like
totally.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Makes sense.
So basically you have, like, you just have to have a place to, like, hold the data that is, like, your Bitcoins. And that can either be, like, in a secured hot storage account online, like, somewhere where you logged in, similar to, like, if you had an online bank account, except it's just,
right,
like, one tiny little, like, it's just, like, a file with your Bitcoins. It's not, like, a whole big-ass account.
Right.
Or you can have it on the cold storage, which is much safer. And then as far as, like, trading them and stuff, you can do, like, peer-to-peer exchanges. And there are, like, more and more vendors that are taking them. I've actually, like, heard that some stores are going to start taking Bitcoin.
Yeah, this is what I was saying, is I've heard about, like, people at their point of sale, little POS yes. life, like accepting Bitcoin.
And that so there's going to have to be like a Bitcoin card or something soon that can be like more of a point of sale transaction. Because mm-hmm. to my knowledge right now, like it's easiest to do it online. But I guess you could just give them your private key and then you could pay them that way at a point of sale. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry, guys. I've not purchased anything with Bitcoin. So, you know,
Can you imagine being like, yet. Yeah, I'd like a venti half-calf latte and I'm going to pay for it with Bitcoin. Thank you, S-Bucks. Like, what? Like,
But soon, I think like really in the like not so distant at all future, like that will happen.
I feel like I've heard about Starbucks taking Bitcoin. Let's and I don't actually, know if that's just made
we
up.
We just need to do a quick check on that because I really want to know. Okay, Starbucks does not directly accept Bitcoin, but drinkers can now pay for coffee with Bitcoin via the Bakkt digital wallet app. And so this is a form of hot storage. Bakkt is a okay. digital wallet app for Bitcoins that would allow you to more easily pay for things like in your outside world life, like not online.
Interesting.
Kind of like how you do Apple Pay, except like it's your Bitcoins in there instead.
Totally. Totally. That is how I like comprehend it.
That is exactly how it would be. Yes.
Shout out to Apple Pay, honestly.
Yes and no. I get nervous when I first got it, I would be like paranoid that I would like walk by a checkout where someone else was checking out and like accidentally pay for them.
And no.
Listen, one of us has more paranoia than the other.
That's true. And it's not me.
It's really not. So that's like mostly what I know about Bitcoin as of right now. Any sure. other questions or concerns before we talk about like some other cryptos?
No, I'm actually really curious to hear about the other cryptos. What are these off-brand Nikes trying to, you know, what are they doing? Speaking of my Jordans.
They don't have like a ton of traction.
Yeah.
One that I think is funny is called... dog coin. It's Doge coin, and I don't know if you say dodge coin or doggy coin, but
okay,
it's like got a dog on
maybe you
a
never
coin.
Speak its name.
I don't know, maybe you don't, but and I think I just missed this moment in internet culture because it's a meme mascot based on a Homestar Runner inspired meme, and like,
oh, Homestar,
yeah, and like Snoop Dogg was all about it and like bought a bunch and promoted it, and like Elon Musk
this feels
was like
absolutely targeted at like our age demographic.
I think
it's
so.
Like Snoop Dogg and Homestar Runner. I'm like, okay, seems yes. like people are trying to get me on board. Okay.
And it like spiked not that long ago. And Elon Musk was like really cheering it on. But then also like encouraged...
I remember maybe him yelling about it on Twitter or something.
Yeah. He was like really excited that it existed, but then later was like telling everyone to sell it. So who knows about that market manipulation?
Elon, stop fucking with the markets.
And then I'm like, I know you're a Bitcoin guy. What's going on? But I don't know. He just likes that cryptos exist. So leave him alone.
Well, I think people like, I think sometimes, you know, the existence of more cryptos seems to like legitimize the fact that they're into cryptos.
That's
or
a
whatever,
really good
you know?
Point. Yes. Yes. And also like market competition, it can be really good. So
yeah,
maybe
totally.
It's good even just for accountability for Bitcoin to have like some major competitors.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense to me.
The crypto that I most want to also mention is called OneCoin. Have you heard ever about OneCoin?
Not to my knowledge. I don't think so.
There is an excellent podcast series that I recommend called The Missing okay. Crypto Queen.
Oh, never heard of it. I'm excited by this.
I listened to most of it, and then I like read a little more about OneCoin.
Okay.
So OneCoin, they sold millions and millions of these OneCoins.
Wow.
So OneCoin was created by Raja Ignatova. My God, I cannot say her name. Ignatova a couple of years
okay.
ago.
On board. We're all rooting for you, yes.
Mm-hmm. And she held these big rallies to hype people up
oh.
and like pull them wow. into what she called the OneCoin family, which has
well, now
creepy vibes to me.
A little culty, creepy. Anytime there's money involved, like you're in an employer exchange of money, the bank, and they're like, we're a family. I just question it. I would argue you should question it. You're not in a family with these
people. We don't
like
these terms, family or loyalty. Like, no.
People start talking about loyalty. Get out. Yeah. Run.
So they're selling, her company is selling millions and millions of OneCoins to all of these people who are coming to rallies. People on the podcast talked about putting their entire life savings into this because the numbers that they're seeing and like the graphs are just like so convincing. And it's like, she's telling them like essentially what I just told you about Bitcoin as far as like the rate that your money
the
grows.
Growth.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, that's compelling.
It's incredibly compelling. And so what happened was a lot of middle class people or people who worked really hard their whole lives, like saw this as potentially a way to retire.
The way this is going.
I know.
The moment you're like, well, people who work their whole lives, I'm like, well, this doesn't seem like it's going to have a happy ending.
I know. There was this woman who spent all of her her dad worked his entire life.
And
never retired.
Now it's other people's money. Like
saved
her dad's
money to leave to her. Yes. She invested, I believe, all of it. And
fuck.
This was revealed to be a giant Ponzi scheme. And
yeah, yep.
Raja claimed that OneCoin was better than Bitcoin because it was backed by a new, improved kind of blockchain. And she would never elaborate on like what that was or how it worked. And
oh, it's proprietary. Ugh.
Well, right. Yeah. You can't know about that. Like, that's the secret. Like, that's why it works. And so there's no accountability there, and the people who are investing in OneCoin have no understanding of cryptocurrency or understanding that they need to see some kind of proof of a blockchain. Like, they need to be able to see a ledger. They need to be able to do a transaction and go back and find it, like, to prove that the blockchain is happening. And there was no blockchain set up. At one point, after like millions and millions have been sold and she's doing interviews all over the world, they went to hire a programmer to create a blockchain for OneCoin. And they interviewed that man on the podcast and he was like, I was flabbergasted because I thought that like this company was like up and running with their cryptocurrency and they're saying that, you know, it's worth $100,000 or whatever. And there's
no blockchain.
They're coming to me about a blockchain. Yeah. And he's like, well, I can't backlog any of these transactions. You can't go back in time and create a blockchain. Like everything up until right now doesn't count. And so
that makes sense.
You would have to start over. So Raja
and then
disappears.
It's like, if you don't have the blockchain, it's like, who even has what anymore?
No, there's no ledger. There's not a system of anything. It's just a Ponzi scheme where people are paying into this giant system and people are getting rich off of it and no one's seeing their money again. But it doesn't.
It's not good.
Seem like stealing because their money isn't gone. They traded it for OneCoin. And so they have the OneCoins still. And they have a OneCoin account and they can go on to the OneCoin marketplace and they can trade with approved vendors. And they're adding vendors all the time. But what the users of Bitcoin said was like, it was the weirdest.
Of Bitcoin or the users of OneCoin?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you. What the users of OneCoin said was that trying to use the OneCoin like in the marketplace that was set up was basically like walking into a Big Lots or an Odd Lots and like, but everything was really expensive. So you couldn't really get anything that you actually needed or wanted, but you did
and
sort
it was
of
like
have
kind
the money.
Of haphazard like junk anyway.
Yes, it was haphazard junk anyway. So Raja
Sorry,
disappears.
Big Lots. I didn't mean to knock your brand like that, but at the same time,
listen,
and I'm
I
saying
loved
this is someone
Big
who
Lots
grew
as
up
a child.
On Big Lots. Yeah. Oh, Big Lots was lit in my youth. Fuck yeah, Big Lots.
Yeah,
anyway.
My grandpa needs to go there to get a grabber. He was always getting those grabbers. You know what I mean?
Oh, those grabbers. I feel like I spent a lot of time at Big Lots as a kid. That's just
I did
a sidebar.
Too. It was a fun errand, and I would always get to get like a little toy or something. So
I loved the 90s.
Yeah, wow. Anyway, enough about Big Lots and Odd Lots. So Raja disappears and no one knows where she is now. And all of these OneCoin investors are just like watching their money be locked into a computer system that doesn't mean anything and their real money is gone. So that is a great example of like people investing in something that they know nothing about. And a tale of caution to anyone wanting to get involved in crypto stuff without like really, really extra doing your homework.
Right. I mean, yeah, definitely. I'm scared for anybody who rolled down that. I don't know. Ooh,
I know. It's a very good podcast also, though. Highly, highly recommend.
Yeah, I'm excited. That sounds great.
But it does feel like cryptocurrency opens up like this entire other world for scamming. Like you have to be definitely so on your toes. But then I also think like Flipit, is banking not like a little the same? Like you can get hosed on like bank fees, or like if you execute like a stock transaction wrong, you can pay so many taxes or fees, and like
that's real.
There are tons of ways to be taken advantage of by financial institutions that are systemic, and so like we ignore them. But I don't know that I feel any like safer navigating things with banks because it's less transparent. Like there's less like random hackers probably, but I think I fundamentally distrust the institution, which makes crypto really appealing.
And I think more than ever, at a greater scale, rather than just like little pockets of people about specific issues, people are just kind of questioning the quote unquote institution, the quote unquote corporation, mm-hmm. the government, the just like the idea of this is how we've always done things.
Yes. Yes.
And banks certainly fall into that. And we have seen shit with banks and the housing market and things be real crazy. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess, like, if you acknowledge that that shit can be crazy, you can also acknowledge that, like, yeah, there are probably going to be some kinks in crypto, too, with, you know, shady motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. But is it different than banks? I don't know, you know?
I think there are maybe on the front end more barriers to entry with crypto because you have to, like, really understand what you're doing.
I would say absolutely because I'm like, what is this?
Right.
It's like, an educational and an understanding barrier because it's not a system that you, like, quote unquote, like, grew up in.
Exactly. And so there's also the fear of it being unfamiliar. But I would argue that, like, one should really know a lot about banking before like engaging with like investments and stuff. Like I think that we are more comfortable giving our money kind of ignorantly to banks or the stock market or whatever these like longer existing systems are without really understanding them in a way that like we probably wouldn't engage with crypto with the small understanding. Like it feels like you have to know so much more just to get in, but that also feels empowering. Like, shouldn't I already know that much about how my money is flowing anyway? I think that this has been enlightening to me because it's made me think about all the things that I don't understand about what the bank is doing with my money.
Right. Well, and I think people forget about that. You know, it's a good scene that maybe a lot of people experienced that... I don't know. It's just so like in It's a Wonderful Life, I'm thinking like Great Depression stuff. I keep
thinking about that too.
Oh, I mean, first of all, just Jimmy Stewart's my favorite actor of all time. Let's start there, ladies and gentlemen. But if you think about that moment where like the market's crashing and everybody's going into the building and loan.
Yeah.
And they want their money. And Jimmy's like, well, your money's not just like all here in the bank. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, people invested and they're building in loans. So like, you know, there are people are, you know, taking out stuff to like build houses and it's right. very like of that era. But it's like, I mean, your money isn't like sitting in your local branch bank and those folks are paying you an interest rate, right, to store your money with them. Mm-hmm. But they're investing with it and making more money than you are because that's how they make money.
Right. Exactly.
So it's a different game. And I guess you can kind of think about it in some ways that like, putting your money in a bank in like a savings account and like the little bit of interest you get from that based on, you know, they're getting more interest mm-hmm. on whatever they're doing with your money. It's kind of like it has the worst payout because it has the lowest risk because your money never gets less being in a bank. Right. And so to me is like it's like, quote unquote, like the laziest way you could invest. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so the payoff is the least. And I think there's a lot of this, and I don't know, as you continue to, like, grow and evolve and you get older and you think about, like, not wanting to work your entire life of and course. How is that possible?
Right.
It's like you think about things that I think it's very intimidating to navigate and learn the rules of these systems and then have all of them, too, just, like, not be a guarantee. It's mm-hmm. very, like, who knows how this works? And I think GameStop stuff, you know, with Reddit, like, there's so much spotlight to dissect there, but it does make you think about, like, I don't know, who makes the rules, and, like, also shit like that can happen, and mm-hmm. huh. And so I don't know, I find, like, the monetary side of, like, what do you, you know, do with money, how do you try and set yourself up in a way that, you know, you're not 80 and, like, not clear on how you could, like, fund your life.
Sure.
I think it's very intimidating, whether you're talking about Bitcoin or you're just talking about the stock market, to know the rules mm-hmm. and to want, like, financial advisors and people who, like, do the stocks for them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's the difference in some ways to me. It feels like energetically the same of, like, you know, can you check your own oil in your car? But, like, yes. what things do you let someone else do on your car that you would never fuck with? I think about plumbing in the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, I can fix my toilet to a point. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. then I'm like, we got to call in somebody else. And we have finite time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And time is our most valuable asset, speaking of assets and money. But it's just, like, how much time do you want to spend trying to understand one of these systems? And mm-hmm. I would argue Bitcoin is not any more overwhelming or confusing than the stock market.
Yes, I feel exactly the same. And it feels like once you understand more of it and, like, maybe learning a little bit about programming, like, you could sure. really truly understand it and grasp it in a way that I don't feel like I ever could fully grasp, like, banking and stuff, because there's just so much going on and so many, like, loans in and out, and this one's paying the other, and I don't know.
This crypto is bad, but, like, it's just not how I want to use my brain.
It's really not. It's really not. And I think you bring up a good point about, like, retirement, because it's also, like, very emotional. Like, the...
Oh, God, yeah.
The idea of investing and being able to make 1,000 times your money in a few years, like, of course, like, most people, like, start thinking about, like, retirement or, like, maybe aging parents and, like, all of these, like, life problems that it would solve for them. And so...
Yeah.
You know, when you have, like, your emotional brain activated, we're not always making the best choices. And so
that's true.
I think that not just crypto, but, like, investment generally is, like, such a risky, like, emotional adventure that people go yeah. on.
Yeah. Well, and to that point of, like, the emotional ride of it, there can be some benefit. I'm thinking about this as we're talking through it about mm-hmm. somebody else managing your money because they're trying to do a good job. Yeah, but, like, it feels different, you know what I mean? Because yes. it's not theirs. And so I think about, this is a weird analogy, but, and, you know, not a direct sure. correlation, but a lot of times in, like, and I'm speaking from, you know, somebody with, like, a merchandising and, like, apparel background or whatever, but mm-hmm. like, oftentimes with, like, you know, buying offices that are doing menswear and womenswear, women do better buying menswear and men do better buying womenswear because you don't, oh, yeah. you're not being subjective about it. You're not being like, would I wear this? Like, you can kind of look at, like, the trends in more of a 360 way and, like, understand the numbers rather than feeling influenced by your own taste.
Mm-hmm. That's why.
And I think there's probably some of that to managing money that, like, you can step outside of it and it doesn't become, like, I don't know, as much of a, what do I think I know? Or, like, what conversation did I have with this one person that somehow stuck with me more than it should have? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's how a lot of people make shitty investments. Is
so,
like,
do I.
They got one tidbit of information from, like, a show, a resource, a friend, or whatever.
And they're like, and that's because, the ticket.
Right, because I'm like that about just, like, not about money, just about, like, knowledge that I'll be, like, you know, quoting the same thing that I read somewhere, you know, 10 years ago for all time because sure. it was memorable mm-hmm. to me, you mm-hmm. know? And, yeah, I think most people aren't – just don't have the bandwidth, I think, in a lot of ways to be, like, constantly –
Especially if you're not in finance. Like if you're not in finance, you're, and if you're not in business, like it's,
yeah,
this is very outside of anything that I would ever do for a job and,
or for fun
or for fun. I will say like learning about it, like for this episode was like fun and interesting, but I definitely am like, even with like doing my taxes this year and stuff, like I'm hitting a point where I'm like, fuck, like I just, there are so many barriers to understanding this.
Yeah.
That like, no,
I, that's on purpose.
It's absolutely on purpose. It's absolutely on purpose. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm seeing crypto as like more and more of a viable option, but I'm sure that it will become infinitely more complicated, just as money has, as time goes on, because right now it's like pretty close to like gold trading. Like I give you this gold and you give me a service and that's the end of it.
Well, here's a question for you and like a, you know, greater philosophical kind of riff. So I feel like as like, you know, the times change about anything, it's like, you know, the younger generations want things that are different than their parents. So like here's an innocuous example. I feel like younger people are more open to electric cars than like boomers, just generationally, because it's just something that like seems like the shift of the future. And like it you're not, you haven't been living as long with like the presumption that just like this is how cars are supposed to be and they run on gas. And like,
not to say people like revving their cars and having loud cars and like that being a flex and like all of that kind of car culture stuff that has to do with gas, actually.
Totally. And it's shifting, right? And so you think about that kind of thing. And do you think on some level, like crypto stuff is really like a generational shift and like a thing for the young people of just like, we want a new system and we want to do things differently. You know what I mean?
I think probably, I don't know. I think about like my brother and like, I don't think that he thinks Bitcoin is that weird. Like I heard him talking about it like years ago, like when he was like in his early teens. And
yeah,
so,
baby.
And so growing up with that, like if I had known about Bitcoin since middle school or high school,
it
would have that vetted feeling that banks have.
Because it's just been around more of your life. More, that's an interesting point.
Because so much of your life it's existed. So I think even just in that way, there's absolutely the opportunity to shift to this. I think that like the hard thing is that old people control the government and like that's where the flip would happen. So you know.
That's interesting though. I do think like as generations shift, maybe crypto will just seem so much more like innocuous because to your point, younger people have just been like, people just been like, I've known about this since third grade. What do you mean this is
scary? And they're primed with Apple Pay and Venmo to your points earlier.
It's interesting. I don't know. It is one of those things that I'm like, at some point, maybe this just won't seem so weird. My other thought, though, is like,
if they taught it in school, it wouldn't. If you learned about crypto and econ.
Well, but here's the thing is like, will people have like a really deep understanding of it? Because I would also argue that like people don't generally have a deep understanding of banks. So like, would it really be that different?
I feel like it's a simpler system. And so in that way, I think that if there was some kind of formal education on how it worked, that it could be really successful in a way that maybe like economic education isn't that successful. But I do think that because like rich people will always want to stay rich, that education will definitely
That's a lie, Jamie. I've never met a rich person who was trying to stay rich.
You're right. They're sprinkling sprinkling it on the ground.
All these Robin Hoods just giving it away.
the deep irony.
The deepest of irony. Yes. So here's a question for you. If you could make like, okay, so somebody made like basically a fake precious metal system and like we talked about like cash and stuff or whatever. Let's just say you could make like a something become like the thing we traded with.
Like a certain object?
Maybe. It could be an object, could be something else. I don't know. Like if you were to like make something monetary, what would you be trying to do? I have an idea.
Wait, tell me.
Because I'm thinking about how we've been trying to hack the future, you know what I mean? Like with our green gyms. And I was like, I'm like, if I could make somehow the Bitcoin fuel the environment. And I'm like, what if we made like single use plastic somehow really valuable? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then we were, I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I got some plans about melting those down into blocks in the garage and trading it for, I don't, who knows what. But I'm like, there would be something. I mean, I guess there used to be some sort of trade-in system with like recyclables, and there still kind of is. But you know, if you like bring the cans, yeah, you get like however many pennies. Mm-hmm. But like, do people, is that still real? I don't know.
It is around here. I think like, okay. Yeah, there's a recycling center like near the
house. I feel like it's in some states that they like do that, but it's not everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know. I wish there were a way to like, I don't, maybe I just am trying to figure out a way to like incentivize recycling. Well, and this isn't really a crypto thing, but I'm like, really what here could I for do? It
as a crypto though. I think that like you're super onto something, and I was like struggling to think of like what I would want to stand in for monies, but I think that I'm really with you on like basically what if we said, okay, no one can make like plastics or glass or
right
cardboard,
no more things, of it, finite no amount of supply.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so all of
you gotta use what you have.
Exactly. And so like you're basically creating a system where the raw material is also the thing that you can trade with, and it would put a cap on recycling, and then we would all reuse the plastics that we have. This is a fantastic idea.
Wow, thank you.
Well, no, the pitfall is people would begin secretly creating plastics.
Yeah, but you know, they'd probably, they'd blow up their house like a meth lab though. Can you imagine trying to make plastic at home?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I cannot. But what if marrying our like green gym idea with this?
Yes.
What if there was a way to like
bringing power to the community? If you guys been with us? Okay.
What if there was a way to like, and this device doesn't exist, so you know,
okay,
at us if you know how to make this. But
yeah, listen, free idea, guys.
There would have to be like some kind of device. I'm picturing it looking like a thumb drive, basically like that size. Okay. That you could like plug into a Peloton or like some kind
treadmill,
of
treadmill, whatever.
Anything where like your body is doing physical work that could be creating energy. And
okay, I'm listening.
That little thumb drive would be like a battery and slash wallet, and you
slash
would,
wallet, okay,
you
let's
would
monetize,
charge
this.
It up, and like volts would have value. And so like if you wanted to like, I don't know, purchase something,
well,
and you didn't
we
have
could
quite
make it
enough,
power cars.
Oh, we could also make it power cars. Jesus Christ. So wow. We've created actually a separate currency that replaces fuels. Fuels, not fools.
Yeah, well, them both, too. Honestly. Mm-hmm. Get out of here with your foolishness. Yeah, I'm
that's not quite I'm what ready. You asked, but I'm ready for that.
I want this lifestyle that we've made up.
Wow. All right, well then without further ado, we should cue the vibraphone and pivot to a verbal game.
Cue it.
All right, so I have a would you rather for you. Kind of in the vein of what we talked about like who's managing our money and like when do we max out on giving a shit about it and like who do we trust and why and generational money feelings. So would you
I think really I'm thinking a lot about, and I'm going to continue to think about how things are just going to be less scary if they're less, you know, new or, you know, unfamiliar to you. I'm going to be thinking about that a lot about crypto.
Yeah, I really do think that the youths, if crypto stays around, they're going to be like, why don't you guys understand this?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like children go can on. Like program like in a day. They're just like fluent.
Those little coders. Yeah. Them baby coders.
I know it's not totally true, but I'm not also totally wrong. Anyway, okay, so back to this. So your would you rather for today is, would you rather have your money forever managed by which one of these people?
Oh God.
And I will preface this with like the older person will not die. Like she'll live forever. Don't worry about like her dying and that being a problem. So
okay, good. Good. That's important advice.
By our third grade teacher. Remember her?
Oh, yep, sure do.
Or someone who is 12 years old right now. This individual is going to become like they will begin managing your money in the near future
as a 12-year-old
and will continue on for the rest of your life.
I mean, do I get to pick the 12-year-old? Is this like... Is
yes,
this like,
I will allow you to choose the 12-year-old.
I think I pick the 12-year-old.
I think I do too.
Yeah.
It's like really actually a pretty easy choice.
I honestly feel like it is. I'm going to go ahead and say I would maybe make some choices based on impulse control feelings.
Yes.
But, and who I would trust with this. But yeah, I feel like... honestly, it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I think maybe this is making me feel old, but I think there are some things that I'm starting to feel like, well, somebody younger than me is probably better at this.
I 1,000% feel that way.
Ooh, and that's weird.
It
Ooh.
Is weird, but like crypto is one of them. And like having a brother who is 10 years younger than me, I think really highlighted this. Even just growing up, seeing him like... Just like a kid working an iPad when they're really little is like, okay,
right. Yep. They're just, like, all right.
Nobody showed you how to do that, but you're just doing it.
You're just doing it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My friend's 1-year-old re-downloaded Netflix and paid for it the other day.
I mean, truly God bless, honestly.
Yeah. But then I think
shout
about
out to
like,
the kids.
What if you say that so much on this show? That's funny.
Shout out to the kids. I stand by it. That's my platform.
If our third grade teacher were the one involved in managing our monies, I think what would happen is like investment in like a lot of treasury bonds. Like old people love bonds.
I mean, well, but there's truth to that like you're supposed to play the higher risk shit when you're younger, and then when you're older, like if you're investing,
but
like
they've
it should
always
be in
loved
stuff in
bonds.
Well, I think that's generational. There's some war bond shit.
Yes,
you know.
1,000%. 1,000% there is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'll let you guys know if I invest in any. I think like my move is probably gonna be I might check out that BKKT backed app, do a little investigation, but I think I might buy like 5 Toshis or something, you know, not like.
Okay, you were, and if you buy said Toshis, is your intent to just sit on them and.
Yes, yeah, I'm not gonna spend, I'm just gonna watch what happens. It'll make learning about Bitcoin like more interesting to me if I have some skin in the game, I think. And by skin, I mean like roughly $50.
Yeah. And by skin, I mean $50 specifically.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe we need a reoccurring How's Jamie's Bitcoin segment. I don't know.
I'd love to give the updates, but as of right now, it doesn't exist. So that's the
current. Well, get some skin in the game, homie.
I will.
I mean, shout out to the people who rode the GameStop waves and people like throwing money at stuff. I think I'm a little risk averse about things like this. You know?
No, I feel that.
It means you miss opportunities, but I'm afraid.
I am feeling risk averse in a flipped way also, in that I have wondered if like in 30 years, if like Bitcoin will have like taken over and I will be like an impoverished person because everyone else has like highly valued Bitcoins and I have only these weak US dollars.
Think about everyone on the face of the planet right now, and then try and comprehend how we would all have moved to Bitcoin in 50 years. It's not going to happen.
We wouldn't, but there will be like a high Bitcoin elite that will exist, and kind of already does. Looking at you, Ghislaine Maxwell.
But does it change your life at all?
I don't know yet.
Okay, fair. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. Do you know yet? As always, if you want to entrust your third grade teacher with your savings, if you are playing the Bitcoin games and you got some intel and want to, you know, weigh in, whatever
it is. Or tell me I was wrong about something. Please don't take any of this as advice. It was truly an exploration.
An exploration in like, why are we drawn to this and who's going to be good at it and what even is it? Truly, why are we like this, you know? Anyway, if you know why the hell we're like this, if you're risk averse, if you're not risk averse, as always, you can let us know on the internet via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And good morning, good night, good evening, good day. Happy mining, I guess.
Happy mining, yeah. It's much safer than actual mining, so...
Congrats. Does seem that way. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.